Welcome to the State of Energy. I'm Randy Witt, along with a man who will hit on 19 playing blackjack in Reno and win. Even when the man messes up.
Are you still jealous that I won the poker tournament? You can't get over that, can you?
Well, you know, if you just keep, you know, rebuying, I mean, I guess eventually you got to win.
That's your story.
You won all your money back.
I think you even had to borrow money from me to rebuy again.
I actually needed to borrow a shirt by the end of that trip. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. I think I said I was Randy Witt, but who cares? Go to thestateofenergy.com. That is our website. Great information. If you want to find out where propane is around you, you can use our Where to Buy button. Listen to past shows where we predicted what's happening right now, years ago. And also rebates. Some great information on rebates.
Yeah, we do. We've got safe appliance rebates. So if you're going to try to clean up your house or clean up your community by switching from a wood burner or maybe even a dirty, inefficient electric water heater, you can replace that with a clean propane appliance, and we'll send you $200 if it was done safely and inspected by a propane professional.
That is awesome. That is at thestateofenergy.com under rebates. And you know who could use this? Apparently, or who is going to use it, is the electric co-ops in Idaho. We're looking for a way to reduce existing electric demand and are considering promoting propane appliances to offset the new demand because they don't have enough power for all the new EVs.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
So we're kind of limited to how much electricity we can produce. And with the recent legislation that's really pushing electric vehicles, I mean, they're coming, right? I mean,
you think
there's so much money thrown at these, it's going to grow a lot, and they're concerned that they're not going to have enough electricity, and so they're considering how can we reduce the electric demand at a home so that we can allow them to still charge their car at home. So the easy way would be to replace some of those electric appliances with a propane powered appliance, a water heater, a cooking stove, any type of heating device, a furnace. If you got electric heat, I mean, that's a big power consumer. So you can switch that out for a propane powered appliance. You're still cleaner than electricity in almost every single state. And you're going to reduce your dependency on the grid and allow your neighbor to charge his Tesla. So it's a win-win. It's a win for you, and it's a win for your neighbor.
Can you hear that, Idaho? Do you hear those horse hoofs coming? That's the white knight known as propane coming to save you once again. And you mentioned Tesla. Elon made the statement again yesterday in Norway. He said, the quote, "The world still needs oil and gas or our civilization will crumble."
Man.
And now, you know, and then immediately your girl Greta threw a soy milk at him or something like that. It was fun to watch, but people are freaking out because for Elon himself to say that the world needs oil and gas or we're going to crumble, if you just search the story, there's so much vitriol now going towards Elon.
Well, I mean, he's a smart guy. He understands where electricity comes from, and if you're going to be the leader in electric vehicles, you need to make sure that you have enough electricity to supply those vehicles that you're selling,
or just a civilization to sell them to. I mean,
yeah, you need people, and you need you need some buyers, right? Oh man, you know, And he's right. You guys are all right in the heart of this whole electrify everything movement in California.
I mean, man.
You guys are in for it this weekend.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. We had a great story for any one of the other 49 states to laugh at us with. But it's Labor Day weekend, and we've got a long weekend coming up. It is going to be super hot here in Southern California, triple digits. They're telling people not to charge their EVs.
Wow.
Because the grid is so strained.
It's going to be hot here, too. I mean, I'm in Utah. You're in California. I think all of our listeners know that. But it's going to be warm here. It's going to be in the hundreds as well. But don't you think it's kind of funny that last week, the California Clean Air Board bans gas cars coming up in 2035. And then a week later, all of a sudden, we're asking you to not charge your cars at certain hours.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what Business Week had for us. It says Californians may need to take measures to conserve energy, including by avoiding charging electric vehicles to prevent strain on the state's power grid over the Labor Day weekend. State regulators voted on a plan to ban the sale of gasoline-powered cars just a week ago. And the new policy approved by the California Air Resources Board will require all new cars sold in California to be free of greenhouse gas emissions by 2035. But now there's a heat wave coming to California. And the grid operator is saying, oh my gosh, don't charge your cars.
Don't charge your cars. It's more than that, though. They go even deeper. Don't use your stove. So don't cook. Don't.
Most of this is between 4 and 9.
Don't use your dishwasher. Don't dry your clothes. I mean, come on. What are they doing? They're forcing everybody to switch all of their major appliances that could run on gas, could run on propane, could run on a cleaner energy than the electricity they have in their town. But this push to like electrify everything. Let's get rid of the gas, get rid of propane, get rid of natural gas. And now all of a sudden, whoa, slow it down. Now you're going to have to not use that device because it's a little too warm for your governor.
Do you think that this might be just some kind of push by the movie theater industry to drive people into theaters? Too much of a stretch?
I could see you just driving around the block, just trying to stay cool this weekend. The actual vehicle usage this weekend in Southern California is probably go up because you're just going to drive around to keep cool.
Well, yeah. And well, everybody's going to be just flocking to the beach. That's going to be fun. What are you doing? What do you have planned for this Labor Day weekend? Are you going to be grilling?
Yeah. You know, I usually have a little party, have some people over. I'll pull out my propane powered clean grill. I've got a couple of different grills, but I really
like. What is your favorite grill to cook on?
You know, I've really gotten into this Blackstone griddle, and we had Blackstone on our show last year.
So awesome!
But it's a lot of fun. You can do like hibachi style grilling, but I like to do like a smash burger. So you get some good fatty burgers. Just a smaller. What I do is I take a 1/4-pound patty and cut it in half and make a double 1/8-ounce patties that are smashed. So they're nice and crispy and they really turn out nice. You ever ate at like Freddy's Steak Burgers?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. You can make those on the Blackstone and they turn out nice.
Tony and I are just looking at each other right now going, I am so hungry listening to Tom talk right now. But also, it's an important weekend for safety. Some things that people want to make sure that they take care of. Like, why not clean your grill?
It's been a long summer. I know you've been out using your grill all summer long. You get a big group of people over, and everybody loves those big, juicy, fatty patties, right? You need a good fat marble on those. But those things, if your grill's dirty, you can have a grease fire. It's not going to be it's not a propane fire, but once that grease goes crazy, you can do some damage to your house. So make sure your grill is far enough away from your home. This goes for all grilling too. Like we want everybody to be safe. Even if you're using dirty charcoal with all the carcinogens, just remember those charcoals will burn for a long time after you're done cooking. And you want to keep that grill far enough away from your house so that you don't have any, damage to your home or damage to yourself you don't want to burn your house down.
Well, yeah. And if you are going to use charcoal for some ungodly reason, let all the briquettes get burning first. Cause so many people try to start cooking too soon. And that's when all of that horrible taste goes up into the food. Just like, you know, it tastes like lighter fluid.
Yeah. You don't want to, you want to taste the meat, not the heat.
And you, my friend, I can't go to this one, but you're going to be in Missoula, Montana next week.
Yeah.
Big event. Yep. You're going to be freaking whitewater rafting. You're going to be hanging out with the propane industry. Tell us about the Propane Don't Give a Damn event. That's exactly what the name of the event is. Propane Don't Give a Damn.
That's right. And we talk a lot about electricity and where it comes from because the push is to across the country is to reduce your gas usage and switch to electricity. But a lot of people don't realize where all the electricity comes from. And in Montana, Idaho, and Washington State, there's a lot of hydro dams that create electricity. And realistically, hydro can be bad. I mean, it's not always that great. It's not like a magic clean energy. There's a lot of environmental issues with using a hydro dam, and it's bad for different types of animals and species that are out there that rely on the water flowing through the river. So there's a—
anybody ask the fish about this?
there's a whole entire movement to not increase the amount of dams that we have. And our theme for our propane event up in Missoula next week is propane don't give a damn, because we don't require any dams to get propane. So that's why we chose that little theme name. It's kind of fun. And we are going to go down the river and do some whitewater rafting. But hydropower, if you look at electricity production in the U.S., hydropower is about 8% of the total electric generation. So if you were going to try to say we were going to replace all of our electricity with hydro, how many hydro dams do you think there are right now in the U.S.?
500.
There's 2,300.
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot. And if you think about how big these things are—
how many are working?
I don't know.
500.
That's the other thing, is like how much water is in some of these dams. We talked about Mead. We've talked about Powell. There's all sorts of drought issues across the West right now. And that's really where most of the dams are, because you need the elevation and you need the canyons to create these dams. But if you could imagine trying to replace all of our electricity with just hydro, you would— for every dam that you see that creates electricity, you'd need 12 more somewhere in that system to create all that electricity. It's just not going to happen. They're super expensive, and they're hard to develop, and they are hard on the
environment. Yeah. You are listening to The State of Energy. That man with all the knowledge, he is Tom Clark, executive director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt. You can find out more about how propane can improve your life and your wallet by going to thestateofenergy.com. That is thestateofenergy.com. We're also on Instagram. Tom, we got to get some of the pictures of you whitewater rafting in Montana.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. You would love to see that. We do have a pretty good sized group going rafting, so we'll definitely get some pictures up, and once we're done, that's gonna be awesome.
And we want folks to realize we're not anti-electric, anti-hydro, wind, solar, or thermal. Propane needs to be part of a balanced plan, and we just on this show are trying to highlight the benefits of propane and how it can improve the environment, improve people's wallets, improve our national security.
Yeah,
even going to that.
Well, yeah.
As well.
And if you think about what's going on in California right now, it's kind of— they set the stage for what's going to happen around the rest of the country
and the world.
And the world. But if you look at just California today, with the crisis that's going on with the heat waves and the executive order that was just signed last week that's going to allow more production of electricity. So you've heard it in the news, but have you actually read the executive order?
I haven't. Anytime Governor Newsom starts talking, you tune out, because it's all blah 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 blah.
Do you want to hear what their answer is to producing more electricity to get you through this this little heat wave that you're going to have?
Yeah, I believe it's under the column called EFIT.
Well, let's just start with what's going to happen in California this weekend, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be hot.
Yep.
And you need more electricity to keep everything cool.
Yes.
So where are we going to reach out to gather more electricity for this weekend? Well, we're going to ask all the major ships that are in harbor, that are on shore power right now, to don't use the shore power. Use your ship's power to power up your ship. Now, how many ships do you think are in harbor on shore power that's going to be polluting the air now with their diesel engines?
Hey, you can look out at the coast of Long Beach and see dozens of ships. It's just, and they're giant, and it's going to do horrible things.
It's going to be a lot. Okay, so next, the other thing is, we know that most of the electricity production comes from some type of natural gas or coal.
Right.
So the other thing in this...
We do. Not everybody here in California does, but we do, yes.
Well, I think for the most part, I mean... Most reasonable people know where their electricity comes from, but...
Oh, you're going to use reasonable people. Okay, sorry.
We
were talking about Californians.
We're going to talk about where some of that comes from, and it's gas, it's coal, but there's restrictions on how much emissions these power plants can produce. I mean, that's part of the EPA, the California EPA. And so they basically... It's game on. Like you can pollute as much as you can. Just give us more electricity.
Yeah.
So this whole executive order is basically an admission that, you know what, we know that electricity is dirty, but we need it.
And we know we've gone too far too fast, but we're just going to kind of sign this going into a holiday weekend and hopefully nobody will notice.
Well, and it's no secret. I mean, if you look at countries like Germany, they really pushed in the early 2000s to be a renewable energy and renounce their fossil fuels and nuclear power. And they really just wanted to go with solar, wind. They spent more than 500 billion euros on wind and solar infrastructure. And guess what kind of needle they moved on that?
It went backwards, I think.
Well, they reduced it. They reduced their fossil fuel dependency from 84% to 78%.
Yeah. Yeah. On 500 billion euros. Is that what it was? Billion? If they would have just given their population like a refund, or think about things they could have done for healthcare or for any number, mental health, all that money.
They reduced their dependency by 6%.
Yeah. That's like spending $100 trillion to lower the temperature by 0.3 degrees.
But now look at where they're at right now. Now they're begging for more coal and more natural gas because of what's going on with the war on Ukraine.
Yeah.
So they're in a world of hurt over there. It really is because of this push on their trying to go clean without really having a full plan to do it properly and protect the people of their country. I mean, because at the end of the day, you need energy security. You need to have a warm house. You need to have a cool house in the summer. You need to have a warm house in the winter, and you need a place to cook and have some hot water. So, and if you don't have that energy source because you pushed everybody to use electricity, man, when there's a major disaster or a major event, you're in some deep trouble. So that's where propane comes in. And we're an energy right now today that's a clean energy for the future. We don't have to worry about making some magic device that cleans our electricity up. We can produce clean electricity today at your house or for your community. You could have these microgrids that run on propane that's producing a really clean energy today.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the folks from Generac on.
Yeah, we've talked to a lot of different people about producing clean energy, but it doesn't even go with just electricity. We also can run vehicles on propane. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking your community needs some clean, or the word that drives me crazy is zero emissions. That is the worst word, and they should be able to ban it. That should be illegal to say that this school bus or this city bus, transit bus, whatever it is a zero emissions vehicle.
It's a straight up lie.
It is a straight up lie. It's just not true. And there's so many communities that are like, oh, we need electric zero emissions buses or police vehicles or any type of vehicle. It needs to be zero emissions. Well, if you're going to use that word, you need to know where that electricity came from. And follow the trail from where it was actually produced. And propane can provide a school bus or a city bus or a police force with clean, real clean energy that's going to be 40 to 60% cleaner than the electricity that they are trying to get into these communities for these school buses and transit buses.
Well, and actually, you sent me a really interesting story out of City Journal. It's called The Green War on Clean Energy. And I think some environmentalists should check this out, because radical environmentalists fight against the very technologies that would cut carbon emissions. Global emissions do appear to be peaking. The more apocalyptic scenarios that some activists forecasted are unlikely to happen. In fact, most developed nations are slowly reducing their carbon footprints, though not as aggressively as they promised. But ironically, these reductions in emissions often occur not because of the policies advocated at climate conferences, but despite them.
Yeah.
Extremists, they don't realize they're puppets. They don't. Extremists anywhere. I mean, they got beat up a lot in high school. They never had a date to the prom. they thought winning a singing competition was going to be their ticket to fame and fortune. Or it's just, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio trying to keep in the game with young ladies.
It's one of the quotes from that article, and this, again, for you guys listening that didn't catch that, the Green War on Clean Energy. And one of the quotes in there is, it's no wonder many environmentalists are so conflicted, because the zero carbon energy that they demand can take a terrible toll on the wildlife and open spaces that they love. And then it goes on to talk about how many like golden eagles were killed from a wind farm, and how solar farms threatened endangered desert tortoises. Mm-hmm. Like you have to give up something. And so now we're talking about these wind farms and solar farms and trying to get this so-called clean energy, but we're giving up something else. And we already have this clean energy and we already know how to get it. And it's called propane, and it's right here. It's right now. And we don't need to kill a bunch of birds. We don't need to kill a bunch of turtles. We already know how to get it. We already have the infrastructure, and we can use it right now. We are using it right now. But if we keep pushing away from this and making it a backup fuel for when the power goes out, we need to turn on our propane power generator, we're not going to survive, because we need to stay relevant and we need to stay mainstream as a main fuel source.
You sound like Elon Musk.
Hey, it's true. That's just the way it's going to go. If we keep pushing, this is going to go the same way with gasoline. If you keep pushing towards electric cars and electric everything, and we start doing away with gas and diesel, the other half of the world the other half of the country that relies on the gas and diesel vehicles to move the things that they need to move, they're going to be forced to pay super high rates in this supply chain, because the demand is going to go down, and that's going to
jack up the price.
You're going to start seeing production drop. Mm-hmm. Because every time you switch a big fleet from gas to diesel, or that gas consumption is going to go down. There's another gas station that's going to close. There's another refinery that's going to close. There's another oil well that's going to close. And then all of a sudden you're going to be, why is gas and diesel 10, 12, 15 bucks a gallon? Well, the demand's just not there anymore to support the infrastructure that we used to have to give us those low costs.
Remember the good old days when we were paying $5 or $6 a gallon for gas?
Yeah,
remember the good old days?
That's what you're going to be saying.
It's coming. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. You're going to be in Missoula, Montana next week. You'll be doing the show from there for the Propane Don't Give a Damn Conference. And You're going to have a great time out there. And anything you'd like to add as we exit this week's show?
Well, we're listened to in 58 countries, 1,141 cities around the world. So if you want to listen to any of our previous podcasts, go to thestateofenergy.com, and we're always online.